Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this evening. I'm happy to be here and to share in this worship service as we come into this. Jesus, my Lord, my God, my all. I like your testimony that you sang. You can turn your Bibles to John chapter 10 for a devotional meditation. I've been thinking as I thought about what to share for devotions, I've been thinking about sheep and the shepherd. And we're going to turn then to a well-known psalm, Psalm 23, and we're going to read that at the end of this devotions here. But I've been thinking about Jesus, our Lord, our shepherd, and how we can have him as our shepherd. And as we expect him as a shepherd to lead us, to guide us, to direct us. Are we thankful for that? Do we know him as our shepherd? Is he your Lord, your God, your all? And that's kind of the way my thoughts have gone as I thought about this devotion. So John chapter 10, let's start reading at verse 1. Jesus is speaking here to the multitude there, the Pharisees. And verse 1, verily, verily. Now when it says verily, verily, it says truly, certainly. And he says it twice. So remember that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, in other words, truly, certainly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. We cease reading there. There's a lot we could pull out of this passage as I think about this. The sheepfold that it talks about here, often in the Bible times, is a stone structure, from what I understand. It consisted of four walls and a door with no roof. And so there was a way over, you could climb over the wall, and that's what it talks about here. But we have the door there. Well, we know that Jesus is the door for us. To enter into that sheepfold of the church and of those that are saved. And so we have Jesus. Verse 14 highlights, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is that good shepherd, and we must know him. We must know him. And as we think about this passage, as he was talking to the Pharisees there, we know that they tried many other ways to be the elite, the saved of that day. But they overlooked and missed Jesus. Let's not do that today. Let's not somehow think that it's some other way to get there by my good works or by looking right on the outside, but it's a heart. We know the shepherd. We need to know the shepherd. And so let's go back to Psalm 23. There are a few thoughts I'd like to think about as we come into this psalm. Just remember that I read John 10 because it highlights who our shepherd is and how we need to know him. And so as I've pondered Psalm 23 in the past couple days, I was amazed as I read it again. It's this very familiar psalm, but the verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." We often think about this at funeral times, and people like to claim to this passage because it's comforting words. It is. But I've been to some where the life that they lived was everything but said that the Lord was their shepherd, and they still want to claim the promises. No, that's not what I believe here. The Lord is my shepherd, and when you get that straight, don't matter whether you're called to the ministry, it don't matter what comes in life, where the Lord leads you, you want to follow him when he's your shepherd and he's who you're following. You want to be where he wants you to be. So let's read Psalm 23 here, and just think about, as we think about our shepherd, how we can know him. This evening, we're going to see him working as these three men have laid their lives out. We're going to see him working. And sometimes people show up just because they like the suspense of waiting to watch the Lord work as he chooses who he would. But it's more than that. As he leads us and he guides us, he does the choosing, and we're glad for that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He, the Lord, maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. We remember it's talking about the Lord. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through trials in life. You know, as a shepherd would walk down, sometimes there'd be shadows that you have to lead those sheep through. He's leading. There's times in life I'm sure everyone can experience. If you can live a life without trials, without struggles, you let me know. I'd like to know how you do it. But he leads us through it. Even if it's death, as it talks about here, valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because we have the Lord. We have that shepherd, the great shepherd of his church. Go back, find my spot here. I will fear no evil, verse 4, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just a few thoughts. The Lord is your shepherd. He is, in when you come to verse 2, he's a sovereign provider. He shows you those green pastures. He leads you, guides you into them. You find substance. You find nourishment. David, as he wrote the psalm, knew what he was talking about. Out in those hills, ran from Saul. He knew about his needs being supplied. He knew about it. Well, he had a great provider that he was serving. Going to the third verse. A sovereign restorer. He restores my soul. He refreshes me. Well, we have David again as he wrote this. He was a man that had fell into sin. He was a man that had the Lord loved, but he had misstepped in his life. Guilty of gross sins, but he confessed his sin. He found forgiveness for it. And it's his restorer. It's the one that restored him in right standing. Today we have Jesus. Same for us. He's restoring us. Puts us in right standing. He puts us into where our sins can be washed away. He's a sovereign protector. Verse 3 and 4, we find that as you go through that valley of the shadow. Protecting, guiding, leading. And we're going to see his leading tonight. We're happy for him leading and guiding and directing his church here today. Verse 5 and 6. Well, I see a guest welcoming a host. Thou preparest a table before. Spiritual feast. All through life we can experience that spiritual feast. In the presence of the Lord, our needs are totally supplied. In the presence of our great shepherd, he supplies our needs. If our head needs anointed with oil, he does it. He brings blessing. He brings healing. My cup runneth over. Spiritual fullness. Well, let's come to the last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. home at last. We're all heading there. When you look over at your life, can you say that that good shepherd has led me through life? Remember, this psalm is for those that know that good shepherd, the ones that have applied him to our lives. And when you can claim, when you have him as your shepherd, and when you have him leading you, you can look, claim this promise of this last verse. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I trust that's our testimony. We want to get there, and we want to be where the Lord calls us to. Tonight, wherever the Lord calls you to serve, claim him as your shepherd. Claim him as your leader. Let him guide and direct. That's where you're going to find true happiness and true fulfillment in life. Let's stand up. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this evening. Lord, as we have looked into your word and as we've seen that you are the great shepherd, the one that cares for the sheep, you are the door that we can go through to find true forgiveness for our sins. Find forgiveness to walk lives that are clean and pure before you. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die for us. Lord, we pray that as we go through the coming days, as time tarries, may we let you lead, guide, and direct us. And when you come back to call us home, that we can go to dwell in your house forever. Lord, we look forward to that time. May you just bless us as we go through the service. Bless Brother Jesse as he stands before us. Give him words to speak. We stand in need of him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Ron, for those devotional thoughts. The Lord is my shepherd. He was reading through Psalm 23. The thought crossed my mind, we serve a God like that. We all agree that that's the God we serve. Why do we ever think we have any reason to forsake that God and turn to our own ways? And yet, we find that tendency in our own lives. At times, as we go through life, to forget the goodness of God, and we begin to dwell on restrictions and those types of things, and we allow those things to trip us up. Well, this evening, we want to greet each one in Jesus' name. It's good to see the house well filled and expectant faces here this evening. I trust that you've come tonight with an intention to see God move. As I was preparing for the service this evening, I thought about, I wonder if there's anyone here this evening that got here without intending to be here. Is there anyone here this evening that had other plans for tonight, and somehow or another they just happened to show up here at this place? They saw the sign out along the road, and they saw the cars coming in the driveway, and they came. I don't think so. I think we were intentional about being here. We wanted to be here this evening. And Brother Dwayne, when he put out the notice for the service this evening, he didn't give us some ambiguous date. It could happen on Tuesday or Wednesday, or maybe it's going to be on Friday. No. He gave us a date, and he said, be there at 7 o'clock tonight. Well, tonight, I want us to think about the fact that we serve a God who is intentional. We serve a God who is intentional, a God that calls us to individual purposes. And I believe that those individual purposes are for each one of us. I'd like to turn to Acts chapter 26 this evening for scripture reading. As we're turning there, I want to just give a little backdrop to this chapter. Acts chapter 26. We could turn back a couple of chapters to about chapter 21 in the book of Acts, and we would find the Apostle Paul, and he's there in Jerusalem, and he's in the temple, and he's there. I believe he was purifying himself. He was quietly worshiping in the temple, and Paul was there. He wasn't stirring up trouble, and some Jews from Asia noticed Paul over here. And they remembered that this was a man who had stepped outside of the norm of the Jews. And they had noticed that there were some people that had come to the temple recently that were not from Jewish background. And they thought that probably Paul was the one that was the culprit behind this. And so they went down and they took Paul. In Acts chapter 21, we see that. And they captured Paul. They thought they were going to kill him. And as they were there and gathered together and they had this mob together and they had captured Paul, the chief captain of the city was off in the distance, and he heard that there was something going on down at the temple. And he grabbed a group of his soldiers, and they ran down through the streets, and they came down there, and they snatched Paul out of their grasp. And they took him from, I believe it was from certain death. And so we have that in chapter 21. And then the chapters following 21, we have Paul under house arrest. Not house arrest in his own area, but he was in another country. He was in Caesarea. And he's there. He's coming and going inside those walls there. He has some freedoms. His friends are coming to visit with him. He's got some latitude there to witness and to teach and for those people to visit him. But he's there for 2 years. Paul's there. And he's locked up. He's not able to get out and visit his churches for 2 years. And here in the end of chapter 25, we have King Agrippa coming down to coming to Caesarea, and he's coming together there. He's coming in, and the beginning of chapter 26, King Agrippa comes to Paul there at Caesarea, and he brings Festus, the governor, and he brings the chief men of the city, and they gather together to hear out Paul and to give him an opportunity to speak his defense. And we're going to read chapter 26. But as we go through this chapter, I want us to focus on the fact that Paul understood that he was called. That he was called, that God had a purpose for him, for his life. And he knew clearly that God had called him for a specific purpose. We're going to read the entire chapter at this time. Acts chapter 26, beginning at verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, so Agrippa came in the room there, brought Paul into the room, they're sitting there, standing there, they're given an opportunity to speak. Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I'm accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation, Jerusalem, known of all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise are 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. When they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and all those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than that which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Jesus should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art mad, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all them that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Tonight I've chosen for the title of the message, I've taken my title out of verse 16, and I've chosen just these three words, for this purpose, for this purpose. He said here in verse 16, but arise. Jesus is speaking here to Paul, and Paul's relating the account when he was there, when he was struck down on the road to Damascus, and he was there before God, and he was prostrate before him, and that light was shining in his eyes, or that light was shining on him so that he could not see. And Jesus said, But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. But I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. There was one reason that light shone down from heaven. Jesus wanted to get a hold of Paul. He wanted to catch his attention. Jesus understood, God understood that Paul was a chosen vessel. And he knew that it was going to take something drastic to call Paul. And he said, for this purpose, I have appeared to thee for this purpose. This encounter with God in Paul's life made a radical change in the life of Paul. Paul was a man who was on fire for what he believed was the Lord. Paul was a man who was going full tilt ahead. He had a goal in mind, and that goal was to serve God with all of his heart. And God came to Paul that day and stopped him on the road and said, for this reason I've come. I've made this drastic step in your life. Because I've called you, and I need you to turn around and go from persecuting this church, these people, to spreading my word to the lost around the world. For this purpose, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Now tonight, you may be thinking that God called Paul in such a way that it was so clear and so distinct that there was no way to miss it. And I think we all agree to that when Paul was struck down on the road, that it would have been very hard for him to ignore the call. He realized that God had a work for him through this calling, this encounter with him on the road here. But tonight I want us to think about ourselves a little bit. I want to think about our own lives. You know, God calls each one of us for a purpose. I believe there's a purpose for every one of us. How does God call you and I this evening? How does God call you and I this evening? I want to look at three things that I believe God uses primarily to call us. Three avenues that God uses to touch us on the shoulder and say, I have a purpose for you. I'll just list the three of them. The first one I believe that God uses is by reading the Word. I'm going to list the three. Reading the Word, by the voice of the brotherhood, and by the use of the lot. I believe those are the three primary ways that God puts a calling on our life. By the reading of the Word, by the voice of the brotherhood, and by the use of the lot. We're going to look at those three individual ways that God calls us. We're going to spend a little time and look at each one individually. We'll look first of all at this thought of God calling, putting a calling on our life, and he reveals himself by the reading of his word. Tonight I believe that if you are born again, if Jesus has done a work in your heart, if you truly have been regenerated from the inside out, and God has cleansed your heart and made you a new creature in Christ Jesus, and if you repented of your sins, if you confess those sins, if you claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then this book right here, this book, the Word of Life, the Word of God, becomes alive when we read it. I believe that this word, this book, means something more to us. I think we all could acknowledge that. It means something more to us as we're born again. Tonight I want to say that if you struggle with knowing God's will for your life, if you struggle with finding purpose in life, if you wonder what God has for you, pick up the word, because there's plenty of callings for you specifically that you will find within the pages of the Word of God. I'm just going to look at a couple of them quickly. I want to say before we look at the individual callings, if you find a struggle to find purpose in life, I challenge you to read the Bible with an open mind. And then when you kneel before the Lord in the morning and you pray to God, I challenge you to just pray a simple prayer that says, Lord, make me a blessing to someone today. Lord, make me a blessing to someone today. I've found in my own life, when I think about a calling and a responsibility, that when I come before God and I read his word and I say, Lord, make me a blessing to someone today, he doesn't fail. He gives us opportunities to reach out. The Bible is full of callings for all of us. I thought about husbands and wives and the calling in the scripture for husbands and responsibilities of husbands to love their wives and wives to be a helpmeet for their husbands. We think about other brothers and sisters in the church and for children. There's callings inside this word here for teachers. There's callings inside this word for ministers and for deacons and for lay brothers and for school board members. I'm just going to share a couple callings that I see specifically in the Bible. Thinking to us as fathers this evening, we go into the scripture and it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And ye fathers, talks about being a good example, laying up for your children, not children for their fathers. There's a lot of things inside the Word of God. Callings for you and I as fathers. Another calling that I thought about, it says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. It doesn't say he that giveth money. It says he that giveth. And the calling can be expanded a little in many different ways. He that gives what? Money, food, love, advice. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that teacheth, let him wait on his teaching. I think that simply means that those that are called to teach, put your heart into it. Take the opportunity to teach. He that teacheth, exercise his gift unto the Lord, as unto the Lord. In Matthew 25, we could read some verses there where it says a list of things that individuals did or didn't do. And then Jesus says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Once again, we have a calling that comes from the Word of God. He talks about, I was hungry and he gave me meat. I was thirsty and he gave me drink. Naked and he clothed me. Sick and he visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. 1 Corinthians, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Tonight I'd like to remind ourselves as we think about for this purpose, when we think about the callings that God has placed on our lives, and we remember the reality that God has a special work for each one of us. And why should we be looking for a calling? Why should we be looking for an outlet, a place to do the will of God, a place to do a work for God? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 says, what know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're reminded again this evening as we think about being called for this purpose. And we think about Apostle Paul and his burning desire to serve the Lord and he took seriously that calling, that when God came and said, I've called you to go and preach to these Gentiles. And I've called you to preach to the Jews. And he went and did it. He took it seriously. And here he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, why should we be worried about serving the Lord? Why should we be concerned about the life we live? Because we're not our own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify your God. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're going to move on to the second point here in the message. We receive a call through the Word of God. We also receive a call from God by the voice of the brotherhood. I helped to serve at the Great Lakes Congregation, and we're in the middle of beginning an outreach at Great Lakes. And so we chose a minister and a deacon to go. And we said we need six families to go on this outreach to move, pick up stakes and move. And we're going to use the voice of the brotherhood. And we're going to ask you to nominate six families that you think should go. And so this past week, we were there in interviews and we were reading through this. And I was just blessed again with the reality that God places a calling on our lives by the voice of the brotherhood. Now there can be other ways to choose those families. We could have chosen to use the voice, to use the lot to choose those families. I believe that's a valid way to do that. I believe that's a biblical way to choose them. How serious should we view the calling that comes from the voice of the brotherhood? Is it the calling of God on our lives? We could turn back to Acts chapter 6. We're not really going to read here. But as I was thinking about this point, I was thinking about the service this evening and the choosing of a deacon, I thought about Acts chapter 6. I think we all know this chapter fairly well. But we know how in the beginning of the chapter that there was some murmuring going on amongst the Greeks, between the Greeks and the Jews. And they were wondering, they were feeling neglected. The Greeks were feeling neglected. And the disciples, the apostles, they were busy with serving. And they said, we need help. And verse 2 of Acts chapter 6, it says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. And we go down through there, and they list seven people. And in verse 6 it says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed and laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And somehow or another in this chapter, we don't find the use of the lot anywhere in there. These men were nominated, these men were chosen from the group, and they needed seven, and they brought seven forward. And these men were accepted because the brotherhood placed a calling on their life. God placed a calling on these seven deacons that came from the voice of the brotherhood. And tonight I want to remind ourselves that God calls us, like he did Paul here, for this purpose. And many times he calls us by the voice of the brotherhood. How seriously should we take our calling to be a janitor or a trustee or a school board member? In the case of the seven deacons, they realized that it was a calling from God, and they accepted it, and they put their shoulder to the wheel. We could also look at Paul and Barnabas, and when they went out, I believe it was Paul and Barnabas went out with the decrees for to keep, they were chosen by the brotherhood. The brotherhood chose them to go and to take him forth, called by the brotherhood. It was not an angel that called these men. It was not an audible voice from heaven, but God chose to use the brotherhood to call them. Tonight I want to just think about this thing of by the voice of the brotherhood we're called. I believe we cheapen the call from God through the brotherhood when we view it simply as an opportunity to serve. I believe we cheapen what God intended and what we learn in Scripture when we simply take the voice of the brotherhood as an opportunity to serve, and we have a take it or leave it type of an approach. A call from the church, from God to the church, demands serious thought and prayerful consideration before we lightly walk away from it. Tonight, we have three brothers sitting here and their wives over here that are sitting here waiting to be chosen by God, and they're sitting here by the voice of the brotherhood. The brotherhood spoke. And it's a pretty serious step for these three brothers tonight, and it would take serious consideration for them to step away from that calling of the brotherhood to sit here and allow God to choose. Some are called, receive their call from the word of God, some by the voice of the brotherhood. Thirdly, tonight we want to look at called by the use of the lot. Now tonight we're going to let Anthony share the lot scripture. We're not going to turn to Acts chapter 1. Tonight, there in Acts chapter 1, we have the account when the 12 disciples realized that they needed someone to fill in the gap where Judas had failed them. And they used the lot to choose between the mighty, those that had the qualifications. And we're going to hear about more about that this evening yet. But tonight, I think, if we're honest with ourselves, we can testify to the fact that the use of the lot, when it's used in a proper way, brings peace and clarity to a situation that there is no method that we can come up with that brings peace to the situation as much as the use of the lot. When God calls us to take a serious step, take a commitment that is for life, nothing brings more peace than the clearness of the working of the hand of God through the use of the lot. Some may scoff and say it's nothing but chance. There's just three books up here tonight. And it just happens to be that brother so-and-so picked the book up. Some may scoff at that. But tonight I'm convinced, and we must be convinced on the authority of the Word of God, that it's more than that. And you think with me that I believe that the same power that was available there when Paul was on that road to Damascus and he was going along and God shattered the stillness and broke the stillness and he broke the laws of nature and that light shone down from heaven and it was so powerful that it knocked him down to the ground. That same power that spoke audibly to Paul that we read about, he recounted here in Acts 26, when Jesus told him, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. That same power that spoke from heaven, that thundered from heaven, quietly moves men to take three books, or however many books we have here. That same power quietly moves men to take those three books, and one man to put that paper inside the front cover of the right book. Shuffle them until he doesn't know which book is which. And another man to shuffle them and to arrange them in the proper way. And that power, that same power that thundered for Apostle Paul, is very capable of keeping that slip in the right place. And as it comes up the aisle and as those books are placed before us and they're given to Brother Duane and he arranges them, probably not a predetermined way, but the way that the Lord lays on his heart. And yet God knows where that slip is at. And then that same power moves in the hearts of one of these three men, or these three men as they stand in their turns and they walk forward and they pick up that book. Not that one. The other one. That quiet voice. Calls us so the book ends in the right lap of the individual who was called before he was ever born to be the deacon at the Fourth Avenue Church. Isn't that amazing? We serve a God like that, who's in control. And so tonight, lest we think that our service is somehow or another less than Apostle Paul, lest we think that the calling is less clear, let's remember, it takes the same God with the same power to do the work tonight. And he will reveal his will clearly to us as a congregation, as onlookers, and to you as a congregation, and to you three men as you're sitting here and your wives, so that you can go home tonight and know that it was the will of God. And tomorrow, and the next day, and 10 years from now, that God spoke back there on October 28th in 2022. And he said, "This is who I've called for my purpose to do my will." May God bless you tonight, and may we humbly and quietly wait on him to reveal his will this evening. God has called us, each one of us, to a purpose. Let's be willing to accept that purpose as the guide for our lives.